Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this hour, we're going to take a critical look at our number one anti-flu drug, which is called Tamiflu. We'll talk about natural ways to boost immunity, to provide you with seasonal immune support, and the value of yoga in metabolic syndrome and high blood pressure. Perhaps this is something that one of our callers last hour could have benefited from, because with elevating hemoglobin A1C and blood pressure points going up, yoga might be precisely the recipe. And no, you don't have to become a contortionist to do yoga. But first, let's take a phone call. By the way, our number 877-726-8255. Let's hear from Mary Frances in Tempe, Arizona. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What's the temperature out there?
Have
a nice weather?
Maybe I think it's in the 50s or 60s. It's been nice outside.
Nice and sunny.
It's been cold for us. We're all over here. You would think it's the Arctic.
It's sweater weather. It's down to like 52. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm jealous. I'm here in New York. It's like rainy, drizzly in the 40s. No sun. No sun to be seen. Okay.
Oh, that's too bad.
So what's your question?
My question is my husband and I, living in Arizona, we're both huge allergy sufferers, and mm-hmm. he has a little worse because he's especially allergic to pine trees, and there's a huge mm-hmm. one right outside the front of our complex.
Right.
But he's also an asthma sufferer, mm-hmm. and he's on a couple different medications for it. And one of the things they gave him was cetirizine, HCL.
Zyrtec.
Yeah. 10 milligrams, and he just seems like a lot more exhausted and sleepier than he used to. Mm-hmm. They even suggest that he takes it at night,
yeah.
Because of how it can cause. And we were wondering what some better options, because he takes it mm-hmm. every day.
Okay.
And we were wondering if the curry and all the other stuff would be better than the Zyrtec.
Okay, so first of all, what's interesting about Zyrtec is antihistamines tend to be sedating, and the older ones like Benadryl's in a lot of sleep medications these days, because it not only does it dry you out if you're, creating a lot of mucus, that's what antihistamines do, but it sedates you. So then they came up, I guess in those 90s, they came up with these so-called non-sedating antihistamines, and they gave them upbeat names like Allegra and Zyrtec, and they were supposed to be non-sedating. But some people experience, to a greater or lesser degree, sedating side effects, because they're not perfect in terms of eliminating those side effects of antihistamines. So your husband's among those. And by the way, antihistamines don't really work that well for asthma. Medications that seem to work for asthma are, these spray inhalers, Montelukast, things like leukotriene inhibitors, and of course steroids. And you say he's on a bunch of medications, so he probably's taken some of those things. So, let's take a look at this situation. First of all, a lot of people move from the Northeast, to Arizona, to escape allergies, because, you know, it's, I guess it's a desert environment, the dry air. It's also, you know, it's supposed to be very conducive for people who suffer from allergies. Well, it turns out it's a disaster, because not only is there pine, but for some reason there's a lot of nasty mold in Arizona, particularly those times where, you know, it's usually dry, 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 and then it pours and rains, and then the mold explodes. And so there, some of my patients who've moved to Arizona have experienced real problems from, you know, being exposed to some things that their bodies just weren't used to. So it's there's no panacea by moving into a desert area. It would seem so, but it doesn't really work for a lot of people. So among the things to try, I mean, first of all, diet is a good place to start, because while it may seem that, you know, after he eats a bagel or maybe he has a yogurt or something, he doesn't have an immediate allergic reaction, dairy and wheat tend to be among the top cofactors in promoting allergies. So I often put people on an allergy elimination diet, even people who suffer from, you know, they don't have anaphylactic reactions, it's now their throat doesn't close, they don't have traditional allergic responses to foods, but after eliminating a food for a month, 6 weeks, they're just in general less allergic. So that I would undertake. Is your husband, has he done that? Is he undertaken any kind of allergy elimination diet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and sugar is a problem too. Lots of sugar can create trouble. So other things that can help. Surprisingly, probiotics help allergies. This has actually been demonstrated in kids who suffer from atopic dermatitis. Changing the bacterial, got a little pet sounds in the background there. Well, I don't do veterinary medicine, so we'll have to leave him alone. Changing the microbiome actually changes the way the immune system reacts to outside insults, and that can be, you know, part of the solution. Higher doses of vitamin D, higher amounts of fish oil can be helpful. One of my favorite treatments for allergy is something called sulforaphane, because sulforaphane helps the body detoxify more rapidly, and you know, gets the immune system functioning in a more normal way. So, you know, these are among the things that can make a difference. So in terms of a quick, you know, you're looking for a quick substitute, a natural antihistamine. Quercetin ranks highest among botanicals, natural substances, as a natural antihistamine, but without the sedating effects. There's something about quercetin that makes it less likely to cause those effects. It's not as dramatic in its antihistamine effects, but over time, if you take quercetin, you can get a blunting of allergic effects. And the dosage that you need to take is fairly high. I would go with 1-3 times daily, work up gradually to 3 times daily of quercetin, get a, you know, potent brand of quercetin and try that. I sometimes use a product called D-Hist, D-Hist, H-I-S-T. It's made by Orthomolecular, I believe. And, you know, some people say, where the heck do I find this stuff? Go to DearHoffman.com, click on the store. They'll invite you to sign up for FullScript. FullScript has a whole lot of physician-quality supplements from manufacturers that often aren't represented in health food stores. So D-Hist, it has some quercetin, some bromelain, and some stinging nettle in it. And that combination seems to be particularly effective for allergic problems. So, you know, asthma, it responds to diet, it responds to certain supplements. You often can reduce your dependency on medication. Sometimes I'm eliminated completely with the right combo of things. So I appreciate your call and all the best to you. Good luck. All right. High on our list of subjects this hour, Tamiflu. Tamiflu is our number one bulwark against the flu. And we often tell people, take Tamiflu if you feel like you're coming down with the flu. But the problem is that it has to be taken within 48 hours of the first symptoms. And these days, who can get to a doctor, get through to a doctor that quickly, obtain your prescription? The doctor may test you. They take a couple of days for tests to come in, although now they have more instantaneous results. It's a hassle. So some people stockpile Tamiflu, and at the first instigation of a flu, they take Tamiflu. On the other end of the spectrum, Tamiflu is used in the sickest of the sick, people who are having very, very stormy courses of the flu, people who, and there have been many fatalities, hundreds of fatalities across the country due to the flu. And as a form of last resort, extreme unction, many of them are given Tamiflu, not just orally, but intravenously in hospital. And you can bet that about 99% of the people who have died of the flu in hospital, when nothing could be done to save them, they got Tamiflu, and yet it didn't do the trick. Now, you might argue with many more people would have died had Tamiflu not been administered. But earlier we talked about the side effects of Tamiflu. Tamiflu causes nausea and vomiting in a high percentage of patients who take it, in especially kids who are a little more susceptible to the mental side effects of it. It can cause hallucinations, seizures, head banging, suicidal ideation. I mean, when does, you know, do 8-year-olds normally want to kill themselves? That's pretty unusual. And there have been cases, and many of them have been reported in the media lately, parents dismayed at the side effects caused by Tamiflu. So in a moment, we're going to take a look at maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's effective. It's, you know, yeah, all drugs have side effects. If it was very effective, yeah, okay, well, we'll go with Tamiflu. But in a moment, we'll take a look at some of the evidence on the effectiveness of Tamiflu, and we'll look at some natural alternatives. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. A random survey of headlines about Tamiflu. If you just Google it and look at Tamiflu news, the headlines are pretty overwhelmingly negative. Here's one. Mounting Tamiflu terrors. Girl 11 saw the portal to hell and had to be hospitalized for 3 months after she was treated for the flu. Here's one from the Post. My kid nearly jumped out of the window while tripping on Tamiflu. Fox 59 reports father warning other parents about scary side effects of Tamiflu. Parents warn their children are having hallucinations threatening suicide while taking Tamiflu. So what about the efficacy of Tamiflu? Because we tell people, you know, take it early in the flu, you'll be better off. And in fact, our government has stockpiled tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of doses. This is Western governments in throughout Europe and Australia, New Zealand, United States, Canada. They stockpiled this stuff against the possibility that there's going to be a flu pandemic, you know, like in the movie Outbreak. So this company, Roche, has been the benefactor of a lot of paranoia about the flu. But does Tamiflu really work? The British Medical Journal recently wrote that the evidence of the marginal value of Tamiflu in managing and preventing complications of the flu is approaching being two decades old. Marginal value, they say. Evidence of the minimal benefit of Tamiflu is now 18 years old. First marketed in the U.S. in 1999, and they were additionally in the marketing approval, there were some shenanigans because when reviewers wanted to review the raw data that the company submitted to prove the safety and efficacy of Tamiflu, there was a lot of withholding. It was only by dint of persistent efforts that they were able to get information on the effectiveness of Tamiflu in preventing complications such as hospitalization or secondary bacterial infections or even the risk of dying. So their product label even had to be changed in 2000 to reflect that there was no evidence the drug would prevent the complications of the flu. So isn't that precisely why people take it? The Corcoran Collaborative did a review on Tamiflu, and it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty because what they say is that after exhaustive studies of numerous research trials, and some of them actually were submitted by the company itself, so they're suspect in terms of bias. The Corcoran Collaborative concluded that Tamiflu could not be demonstrated to reduce flu symptoms by more than a day. There was no impact on the rate of hospitalization. There wasn't enough data to determine whether it could reduce the flu death rate. And so there are many side effects as well. Now, if you want a breakout in terms of what that means, you know, to give you percentages is meaningless, but say if 1 million people were to take Tamiflu in a pandemic, 45,000 would experience vomiting, 31,000 will experience headache, 11,000 will have psychiatric side effects. That's a recipe for a lot of puke and a lot of mayhem in terms of, you know, some really serious side effects. What about if this 1 million, multiply that by 100, if we were to administer it, you know, from government trucks, you know, just throwing it off to people who are panicking because of a pandemic, would it protect people? Would it engender unnecessary side effects? That's actually something I'm going to do a deep dive on in our next newsletter article at drhoffman.com. So stay tuned. And when we return, we're going to talk about natural ways of providing seasonal immune support, because those natural ways may actually be more effective and safe than some of the drug approaches that we're promoting. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And, you know, we've been talking about the flu shot and its lack of efficacy, also Tamiflu, myriad side effects. Again, lack of efficacy. If you really look at the studies, so there's not that much there. And so with those factors in mind, it's clear that the best medicine is preventive medicine to bolster our immune defenses. So let me share with you my picks for some of the top supplements that can help to boost immunity and maybe take the starch out of the flu were you to get it. Again, you know, we're not talking about 100% bulwark against all misfortune here, but we're just looking at the demonstrable science that proves that nutritional status makes a difference. And there are natural nutraceuticals as well as vitamins and minerals that have an impact. So I've listed them at drhoffman.com this month, seasonal immune support protocol. The protocol includes Kyolic Formula 103. They're one of our sponsors, but I do believe in the immune supporting effects of aged garlic extract. And Formula 103, they have a lot of different variations of Kyolic, and one is packaged along with potent cofactors for immune support. So that is on my list. Also, AHCC, Advanced Hexose Correlated Compound. The product that I like is called Immunokinoko, and it we actually did an entire podcast on the subject of AHCC recently. You can look that up at drhoffman.com. AHCC has been shown to have protective effects against the flu. Vitamin C, of course, and vitamin D, really among the most effective agents for protecting us from respiratory infections. In one study, individuals who were deficient in vitamin D were given vitamin D, and their rate of respiratory infections was reduced by two-thirds. So very important to take vitamin D. I even suggest you take a little more if you come down with a cold or a flu. And there's a clear nasal spray. Clear nasal spray helps to reduce the biofilms that may contribute to infections. It's also helpful for allergy sufferers. So consider clear nasal spray as part of your protective program against colds and flus. I also like a transfer factor, which is a colostrum-derived product that boosts the vigilance of white blood cells. That can be helpful. And one of my favorite natural antivirals, and by the way, it also has heart protective effects, is olive leaf extract. The oleuropein in olive leaf extract actually was studied by Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company back, I think it was in the 1960s. They originally studied it. They were going to take out a patent on it, or maybe they already did take out a patent, but it was decided that what's the profit in using a naturally derived substance? They do better with sales of designer molecules that can be patented long-term. You know, something that's natural is just not going to be a bonanza for big pharma. But oleuropein has documented antiviral properties, and olive leaf extract concentrates that. So in a product I like is called Olivir. The implication is, well, the V-I-R, so Olivir. It's rich in oleuropein, a potent natural antiviral. And another product I like, and this incorporates zinc and echinacea, is called Viracid. Viracid, V-I-R-A-C-I-D. So consider Viracid, which harnesses the antiviral properties of echinacea along with the immune supportive properties of zinc. I mean, I think you look at blood tests, and a very high percentage of Americans are low in zinc. And it would be very interesting to do a study of the people who came down with very, very serious flu requiring hospitalization, or even do autopsies on those who died, and look at levels of key vitamins and minerals, vitamin D, zinc, vitamin E, vitamin C, and see if there's a trend. And it may not be that one single vitamin or mineral is responsible for these people not being able to withstand the onslaught of the flu, but a combination of nutritional deficiencies might render them more susceptible. That study really needs to be done. You know, where's the money for that? Well, we're not selling anything, you know, that's made by a drug company. But in the interest of public health, we really need to study the effects of nutrition on the flu. Look, if the shot were working and if Tamiflu were a perfect drug, there would be no need for looking at these factors. I mean, unless some people, yeah, they prefer natural approaches. But I'm not against shots that are effective. We've eradicated polio and smallpox, and you can't argue with success. But when it comes to the flu, just doubling down on the recommendation to take your flu shot, take Tamiflu, in the face of overwhelming evidence that they're minimally effective, that is just a public health disaster. All right, let's take a call from, let's see, it's Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
What is the difference between a rapid-release sterol and a regular sterol as a supplement?
Oh, as a supplement. Okay. Well, there are, I actually am not quite sure what this caller is referring to, because sterols are present in plants. Plant sterols have the property that they can help us lower our cholesterol. Plant phytosterols are in certain supplements that are designed to help us minimize the risk of cardiovascular disease. That's one form of plant sterol. Another type of plant sterol that's kind of interesting is in a product called Moducare. And Moducare contains plant sterols, or sterolins, that are a little different in their effect. They're not so much for lowering cholesterol. They're for modulating immunity, and we use them for patients with autoimmune problems. So, you know, maybe she's reading a pitch for a product that's a rapid release or a slow release sterol. I'm not sure what she's referring to there. I haven't even really come across it much in my fast reading about, you know, all manner of supplements. But those are the two basic types of plant sterols that are currently offered on the market. I hope that helps. All right, yoga. Something that I've been getting into lately, and you know, I got to say that I'm not playing in my strong suit there, because for a long time I had an aversion to doing yoga. I was fine with like running, biking, cycling, swimming, weight training. Those were all good, and you know, sometimes people just hew to the things that they're familiar with. But I decided to add yoga, and yoga has been challenging at first. Now I'm getting into it. I'm more comfortable doing yoga. Frankly, the stretching was difficult and sometimes painful, because after years and years of high levels of exertion, my muscles were tight and stiff. But I found it a great antidote to the aging process, but also to the kind of stiffness, muscle aches and pains that you develop when you pound the pavement when you're bench pressing, and creates some shoulder soreness and stiffness and so on. So this study looks at yoga for metabolic syndrome, which is a constellation of problems that probably about half of Americans ultimately will suffer from, maybe more, maybe 60-70% of Americans. Weight gain around the midsection, okay, that's a lot of that covers a lot of ground. But also associated with high triglycerides, elevations in hemoglobin A1C, maybe not even quite into the diabetic range, but, getting up there into the sixes. And, once you've crossed 6.5 or so, you're type 2 diabetic. And hypertension. Those are all part of metabolic syndrome. And it has to do with insulin resistance. And it has to do with a lot of inflammatory compounds, too. So bodily aches and pains, arthritis, brain inflammation. Inflammation of the blood vessel walls, which leads to atherosclerosis and heart attacks and strokes. These are all part of metabolic syndrome, which ultimately, I think, shortens the lives of tens of millions of Americans. So they studied yoga in relationship to metabolic syndrome. It was a yoga intervention program for 1 year. The average age of the people was 59, which is pretty cool. And they measured blood sugar, blood pressure, HDL, waist circumference, triglycerides, and they also looked at inflammatory substances. Now, I'm going to name some names that you may not be familiar with, but these are all either substances that have to do with whether we're going to get fat or whether we're inflamed, or ultimately whether we're more likely to get blood clots. Adipokines, which include cameran, visfatin, plasminogen activator inhibitor, or PAI1, leptin, and adiponectin. Adiponectin has a lot to do with appetite, so does leptin, and has an impact on whether we're going to maintain our weight or gain lots of weight. Adiponectin increased by 20% in the yoga group versus a decrease of 15% in the control groups. That's a big, big difference, and adiponectin is what we want. The yoga group had a decrease in leptin. That's good because high levels of leptin are associated with hunger and weight gain. The yoga group had a decrease in leptin of 26% compared with an increase of 9% in the control group, and, you know, a lot of other statistics that were associated with protection against metabolic syndrome. So this is one of the first comprehensive studies done on the tangible effects of yoga. Yeah, you know, there's like well-being, I feel good, I feel more flexible, I've got more energy. Okay, all that's subjective. But in terms of the actual molecular biochemical effects of yoga, this is a pioneering study in the Scandinavian Journal of Medicine and Science and Sports. Very, very cool study. And these participants were not youngsters. Average age 59, ranging in age from 30 to 80, who had metabolic syndrome, and very, very positive direction from regular yoga practice. So something that I'm going to continue with, something I recommend highly to you. Even if you're older, you can still get into it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and a little bit of a lightning round of stories that are in the news this week. A rather misleading story has gotten a lot of people to post this with glee on social media. Drinking alcohol could be more important than exercise when it comes to living a long life. So one of my high school classmates that I'm still in touch with, I've seen him over the years. He's an inveterate non-exerciser, and he constantly regales me about stories about the great new pizza place or the great new ice cream parlor that he attended. You know, I see him, and he's doing fine. He's doing okay. And I hope that he stays in good health. But he's a bit of a contrarian, so he posted this article gleefully, drinking alcohol could be more important than exercise when it comes to living a long life. There is something called a 90-plus study. There's a lot of studies like this going on across the world, but University of California at Irvine is seeking to find out why people in the fastest-growing age group in the United States, the oldest olds, live as long as they do. And so they analyzed the habits and behaviors of 1,700 people in their 90s, and they found that, lo and behold, consuming roughly 2 glasses of alcohol or wine a day lessened the chance of an early death by 18%. And so, by comparison, a moderate amount of coffee cut the likelihood by 10%. Those who practice a hobby, 21% lower risk. Exercise wasn't as good as drinking. Exercise made a premature death 11% less likely. So technically, according to the study, if you believe this study, that is true, that drinking alcohol could be more important than exercise. Just an example of sort of cherry-picking data based on a study that there's a lot of factors, and it's hard to separate them out. And sometimes alcohol consumption, particularly consumption of wine, you know, people who are wine consumers, they're maybe a little bit more educated, a little more affluent, a little bit perhaps more health conscious, as opposed to, you know, people who drink Thunderbird, you know, or do tequila shots. So, you know, I'm not sure that this study necessarily means that lots of alcohol is going to keep you alive longer, and especially in view of this study, largest study of its kind finds alcohol use biggest risk factor for dementia. This study, interestingly, was done in France, where they drink a lot. And, you know, we often talk about the French paradox, the French guzzle wine, and yet they do well because of the benefits of red wine and the resveratrol in red wine. Well, France has a lot of folks suffering from dementia, just like every Western country. And the study looked specifically at the effect of alcohol use disorders. And they found that among people who had early onset dementia, that's defined as dementia occurring before the age of 65, the majority, 57%, were related to chronic heavy drinking. Now, you might say, well, what constitutes heavy drinking in a country like France? There is such a thing as heavy drinking in France. And what's the cutoff? Chronic heavy drinking is defined as consuming more than 60 grams of alcohol on average per day, which translates to 4 to 5 standard drinks for men and about 3 standard drinks per day for women, day in and day out. And when you do that, you dramatically increase your risk for dementia. It may in fact be true that you somewhat reduce your risk of heart attack, but you also increase your risk for stroke, dementia, cardiac arrhythmias, liver problems, accidental death, and suicide. So, you know, you can generate a headline from studies like this, but you've really kind of got to look behind the headline to see what they really, really mean. And this item, you know, there's flu season, everybody's like swabbing stuff down. People want to maintain sterility. Antibacterial wipes pointless as bugs grow back in 20 minutes, scientist says. It's research performed at Northumbria University in Newcastle in England, Northern England. They say here, if your kitchen is clean, don't be cracking out the antibacterials and swabbing it down because it's an absolutely redundant exercise. Some bacteria can divide every 20 minutes, so it doesn't take long for just one cell that's left over to become a million cells. In fact, it would just take around 6.6 hours. So it turns out that soap and water are more effective because soap washes away the bacteria. It's not as potent a sterilizer, but it does sweep the bacteria away, and there's no way we're going to completely win the war against bacteria by using these antibacterial wipes. They're toxic, they're dangerous. They also cause bacterial resistance, so that if you do acquire a bug, it's going to be ultimately much harder to treat, resistant to every antibiotic known to man. Not a good idea. Well, thanks for joining us. Remember to check out our website at drhoffman.com, a great offer at FullScript this month, 10% off supplements. So take advantage as an Intelligent Medicine listener.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. February is Heart Health Month, a great reminder that tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Heart Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for my supplement starter kit, immune protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.